Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed his parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep.' I tell you, just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. What woman having 10 coins and losing one will not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? When she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "Man had 2 sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country. He found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up, went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put his ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let us celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again, he was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. He became angry when he refused to enter the house. His father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up the property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you're always here with me. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has gone to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. About 20 years ago, we had a priest that was with us for about 5 or 6 years. His name was Father Al Hall, very good preacher. And he said that this chapter of Luke 15 is the lost and found chapter. Kind of like that, the lost and found chapter. And it would be, you have the lost coin, and then the woman sweeps out and finds the coin. Then they got the lost sheep, then the sheep is returned to the flock. Then you have the lost son, who's restored to his father's home. This, what you heard, is possibly the greatest short story in the history of the world. And it's called The Prodigal Son, but I give it a new name with literary license, okay? I would call it The Parable of the Merciful Father. What do you think? So instead of focusing more on the son, focus also on the father. Because both of them are protagonists in this beautiful story. So you could call it The Prodigal Son, but you can also call it The Merciful Father. Okay, so there's so much that can be said about this. I'd like to tell you a story which I think is a very parallel story to The Prodigal Son. And I take it from one of my favorites, writers as well as preachers and teachers, and his name is Fulton Sheen. Okay? Fulton Sheen. How many of you have heard of Fulton Sheen? How many of you met him personally? One-upmanship, huh? Yeah, I met him at the end of his life. And my dad, who worked on Manhattan, bumped into him in a restaurant because he lived in Manhattan, downtown New York. So I'll tell you one of the many, many stories of Fulton Sheen, but I think this one is probably about the best. If you're a New Yorker, you've probably heard of Hudson River, okay? Hudson River. Fulton Sheen was brought to his attention that one of the most famous, well-known prostitutes about 75 years ago was dying. And her name was Kitty. What had happened was her pimp, which means her boss, got very angry at her because she was not bringing in enough business. So the pimp ordered her to be poisoned because she was not bringing enough gula, enough money. She was a baptized Catholic. And she had received her sacraments, but she drifted into the wrong path. So Fulton Sheen, hearing about this, went to her tenement there along the Hudson River. He entered in and he said he never saw a more ugly pigsty in his life than this tenement where this prominent prostitute was living back about 70 years ago, which was symbolic of the state of her soul. So there she is dying, and Fulton Sheen goes to her and says, Kitty, here I am with the Lord. I would like you to go to confession. Don't forget, she's living a life of prostitution for many years, and she's kind of like the ringleader of the prostitutes in New York in the late 40s. And this is what she said. Are you listening? She said, "No, I am the worst sinner in the world." And Fulton Sheen, with his typical eloquence, and he was eloquent, no? His typical eloquence, he said, "You're not the worst sinner in the world. The worst sinner in the world is the one who says he doesn't have sin." Hey, amen? I like that response. The worst sinner in the world is the one who says, "I don't have sin." So Fulton Sheen encouraged her, and after many, many years, she went to confession. And don't forget that she was poisoned by the pimp, so she was dying. He gave her confession, and then the anointing of the sick, and then gave her communion. Guess what? She got better. Very interesting. Over the past couple weeks, I've been visiting a person that's aged, and her health is declining. And they gave her the anointing of the sick, got better. Happened to be my mother. Very interesting. Very interesting. That's one of the effects of the anointing of the sick, is that if it's for beneficial for the salvation of the person, God will allow that person to rebound. I've seen it many times as a priest. So she rebounded, and guess what? She gave up her profession as a street woman. Now I invite you to read John chapter 4. John chapter 4, which is the woman at the well. The prodigal son, the woman at the well, and Kitty, it's the same story. John chapter 4, you got Jesus visiting this woman who's got six husbands. She's living with her seventh. And Jesus says, give me the drink. And Jesus goes on to tell this woman everything she's ever done, showing her respect. The others utilize her as an object. Now what this woman does in John chapter 4 is exactly what Kitty did. She gave up her profession as a prostitute, and she goes to talk to the other prostitutes there along the Hudson River. So Fulton Sheen is sitting there in the confessional, probably St. Patrick's Cathedral, have a line of prostitutes in line to go to confession. You see, it's the domino effect. As this woman, Kitty, as the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, they had incredible gifts. Incredible gifts. Incredible talents. Very high IQ. Leadership qualities, but they were simply being used by these machoistic men. Being used. They're being used. But once someone like Sheen or Jesus Christ shows these women their innate dignity, they're able to unleash so much grace that your head is spinning. So I love that story. And I think that that story is a modern version of the prodigal son. One more story of Fulton Sheen. Okay, Fulton Sheen was in London, where my ancestors come from. London, England. And he's praying in a church, and he looks outside, and there is a beautiful young woman that's laying outside the church. And Fulton Sheen draws close, and he looks up, and he sees a billboard of a beautiful woman actress, and it was that woman. So he draws close to her and says, "Look, I'd like to talk with you." She said, "You know, I used to be a Catholic, but I've given that up. I'm an actress, and now I've got my problems, and I'm able to resolve my problems by drinking." So Fulton Sheen said, I'd like to meet with you in the church later on this evening." She said, "Yes, but under one condition." "What's that?" "One condition: you do not tell me to go to confession." "Is that a deal?" He said, "I promise I will not tell you to go to confession." So, at about 5 o'clock, the woman enters in the church. It's somewhat dark, and all of a sudden, she feels someone push her into the confessional. It was Fulton Sheen. He didn't tell her to go to confession, but he pushed her into it. He opened up the confessional door. She goes to confession, and guess what? After she goes to confession, she goes through a conversion. She leaves this sinful life of acting, and she enters into a contemplative religious order of nuns, and there she was for the last 50 years of her life. So, my friends, let's pray for conversion. All of us have relatives and friends that are walking in the wrong direction. All of us have a brother, sister, uncle, or aunt that used to be a Catholic and still is a Catholic. They're walking in the wrong direction. So I'm going to invite all of you. In my family, of the 9 of us, only one is not practicing, which is pretty good, 1 out of 9. But I'm praying for him. I invite all of you right now to place on the altar right now some person in your family that is like the prodigal son, that is like Kitty, that's like the Samaritan, that's like the actress. Place them on the altar and pray with fervor that they will enter one day into the loving embrace of the Heavenly Father. Amen.